So let me just give you a few facts. This is some of our church history. When we started this church in September of 1995, one of the things that was included from day one in the line item budget was a building fund. Now, that's by faith. When you're meeting in an elementary school and you have just a few people coming, we put that in there. Understanding it by God's grace, we would start a building fund. So by that month, we had $500 in that fund. We just put it in there. There's so much more to this story that I wish I could tell you, but my time is limited. So we put $500 into that. By January of 96, we had $4,500 in that. Now, this is in 1995, 1996. That was pretty good. And I give the glory to God. Let me also say this, that at this time, I was a GFA missionary, like Belinda is. My wife and I were missionaries in church planting. And GFA was supporting us. And with their support and with the support Juanita and I raised, we were receiving about $2,000 a month. That was not only for us and the two kids we have, the third one coming the following September, but that was also for the church. That was for the rental fee. That was everything. So it was half of what we needed. But the offerings from the very beginning took care of the rest of it. And that was amazing. That was truly of God. By the way, our average Sunday morning attendance, September, October, November, December of 1995, was 32 in the morning service. By the first anniversary service on Sunday, September the 8th, we had $38,000 in the building fund. By December of 1999, $94,500. And let me just say, we were very frugal. We did everything we could to save. I still do that. Paul, Brother Paul, still has a problem with me printing off the Wednesday night prayer sheets because I put them on the back of scratch paper. But that's the idea. That's what we do, is try to make sure that we're not being loose with the Lord's money, with the money that you give. And so the praise goes to the Lord for that. By September of 2000, we had $111,000. And these are round figures, by the way, very round. When we purchased this land for $100,000. And so that left us with an $11,000 balance in the year 2000. But the land was ours. Miracle. By December 2000, all of our outside support ceased. GFA had ceased 2 years earlier. All the individuals and families and churches who were supporting us, all of that support ceased. In 2004, we had $134,000 back into our building fund. So from $11,000 until 2004, now we're back up to $134,000. But now we have architect expenses, had to pay for the water tap. We paid for half of that street out there to be paved. That was $91,000. So again, that fund was not the greatest. When we started building in January of 2005, we needed a construction loan. We needed $966,000. Okay, this little church, we needed $1 million. We went to Centennial Bank, and that was $234,000 more than they were willing to lend. Brother Larry, who is a banker, told me something back then. He said, Pastor, there are three types of people banks do not like to loan to. You know who those three people are? They're three P's: policemen, plumbers, and pastors. And I've always asked him, why is that? And he can explain the policemen, he can explain the pastors, but he can't explain the plumbers. Not to my satisfaction anyway. But that's me. I'll tell you why. It's because churches so often default on their loans. And understanding that, we went to another bank, but we went to this bank because we had a member of our church, Brother Chuck Butzin, who was friends with the president of that bank, New Frontier Bank. Now, understand, I was told by so many people, there's no way you can do this. There is no way. The builder told me that, Teamway Builders. He said, you can't do this. Well, let's watch the Lord. New Frontier Bank gave us the loan for $966,000. When we signed the papers to that loan, we knew we must pay this back. Now, that's different than the way a lot of people think today when you have a loan. Bankruptcy is not an option for the believer. You see, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. For the sake of our testimony, we knew we had to pay that. I hate debt, don't you? Because you know this truth, don't you? The borrower is servant to the lender. In Bible times, if you failed to pay your debt, they enslaved you. I was reading something that Matthew Henry said in his commentary. He said, some sell liberty to satisfy their luxury. And that is what happens so many times. Well, that was in 2005, 2004 when we got that in the fall. So we start building in 2005, January. By August, the building was built and we occupied the building in August, so 8 months later. And so as time went on just a little bit, we realized that we could get a better rate at another bank. And so we refinanced with Compass Bank in 2007 for $940,000 at a fixed interest rate of 7.25 for 7 years. That was in June, understand, June of 2007. Folks, what happened in 2007? The crash. The greatest since the Great Depression. I was looking back at this and I'm going, that happened in September. We did this in June. God spared us because the bank we had went under. Praise God. Remember the sermon, working, how God works behind the scenes? And sometimes we're so stupid we don't see it, but I'm looking back and I'm going, Lord, that was amazing that you were working behind the scenes to save us from that. You spared us. But then that 7-year loan is going to mature in 2014. Very often we would say we've got to look to what God has done in the past to encourage us for the future. He's taken care of us. He's going to take care of us again. But how? How's this going to work? Because once that loan matures in 2014, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? We even talked, and I remember this so much, I talked with the deacons, talked with Larry as a former banker, folks in the church, can we do some kind of a bond program, which I do not want. But what are we going to do? So prayed much about that. Late in April 2014, we were able to refinance with Colorado East Bank in LaSalle, which is now TBK Bank, for $700,000. So that was a 15-year terms, so this would need to be paid by 15 plus 2014, 2029. What year is it, folks? This is amazing. We paid off 4.5 years early by God's grace. Our anniversary goal for our mortgage to be paid down every time we had an anniversary service. Remember this? Let's see if we can make an extra payment or two. And I've got a history here that you can't see, but I'll have it available of every payment we made to Compass Bank. You get down to the bottom. Balance, zero. But look at all those payments. And as you look at those payments, you'll see somebody to pay down the mortgage, pay down. A lot of them are in there. Folks, various folks in the church giving a little extra to pay down the principal. And that, let me tell you something, folks. Do you have a mortgage on your home? Do what you can to pay down extra every month. The Lord was good in allowing us to do that. And I marvel, since at times when we took those anniversary offerings, we'd have 2 to 3 times our mortgage payment in the offering. I remember offerings of $17,000, $10,000, in addition to our regular payment that we would make that month. So folks would at times give. Just during the week, on a Sunday, they would mark it for debt reduction, debt reduction, debt reduction. But let me tell you something, at times it was overwhelming to me. I can remember in my office on my knees praying and saying, Lord, how are we going to do this? Did we do the right thing? So I prayed a lot about it. And it required being consistent and faithful on a weekly basis. And it made me think of this verse, Deuteronomy 7, 17 to 19, and then I'll read verses 21 to 22. When the children of Israel were going into the land before they went in, the Lord said to them, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. See, he's saying, look back. What did I do before? The great temptations, that is the trials which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretch whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible, that means awesome. And the Lord God will put out those nations before thee. Next few words that you see in bold out loud, please. By little and little. Folks, it's by little and little. Thou mayest consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. Notice what he says, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. Sometimes when God blesses us and things are taken care of, we fall into the temptation that is now there, that we now have, the debt's paid. Oh, let's sit back. And we cannot. In the almost 20 years that we had this mortgage, not once did we miss a payment by God's grace. Even during COVID. God is faithful because God's people have been faithful, trusting him even while giving. So today, I'm not here to say we did it, but we're here to say God did it. He did it. To him goes the glory. Why I had a sing, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. And there is the danger that we see in the seventh church in Revelation, the church of Laodicea, where the Lord Jesus says, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm. You think you're rich and increased in goods. And we can't think that way. And then he said this, and you think you have need of nothing. You could put no one in there, and you think you have need of no one. See, folks, if we have the idea that we did it, we're in trouble. But if we give all the glory to God, not just with the mouth, but now in what we do, the Lord can bless. So, I am excited this morning to burn this mortgage. And I considered, okay, who am I going to have come up here with me? So I thought of the building committee, but two of them aren't here, my brother Mike and Chuck Butsey. Brenda was on the building committee, Larry Hergert was on the building committee, and brother Dave. And then I thought, really who needs to be up here is every person in this church who has given. So I'm going to do it, representing you. Some almost every week designated toward debt reduction. I will burn this paper now as your representative. A mortgage burning ceremony is a celebration of freedom from debt. I wonder if you could think of anything in the Bible that would make good preaching on having freedom from debt. That's what I'm going to be preaching here in just a few moments. But right now, we want to give a tribute to God for his faithfulness, his guidance, his leading, his blessing. And so before I burn this, let's pray that I don't burn the building down. That's not really it, but let's give praise to God. Marvin, I know you don't like to be put on the spot, but brother, you've been here since the second Sunday. And I would like for you to praise God in just a moment, to stand and pray and give thanks to God. And brother Hale, I would like you to pray too. And just praise the Lord for this day. Just a very brief prayer, giving him thanks and praise and glory. Brother Marvin, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen.
Father, we thank you for your great goodness to us. We love you because you first loved us. You provided for our every need, earthly and eternal. You've loaded us with benefits daily. Mm. We do thank you for the blessing of being able to burn this mortgage. Mm.
Amen. This is a copy of what the bank sent us, and right here it says paid in full. Effective date, September 18th. And so, appreciate Brother Paul Hallad giving me these. And I'm going to have Dave light that thing, but before you do, I also wrote in Greek right underneath it, tetelestai. Okay, now, I'm going to explain that in just a moment, but can you say tetelestai with me? Tetelestai. You're going to learn that word this morning. Let's burn this, and at some point you can clap if you want. But let's wait until it's burned. I've got wet towels here. Ooh, that's a big flame. Ooh, that's a big flame. Let's say tetelestai together. Tetelestai. Let's say it has been paid in full.
It has been paid in full.
Praise God. Let's sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord, to you we give the glory. You do the impossible. In fact, you go way beyond what we could ask or think, that this is paid off early. Lord, I pray that this would be a testimony to the world, to those in this community, to those in this church, as we from time to time have had doubts. Lord, to realize that you are always faithful. May we, according to that attribute that you have, faithfulness, may we too be faithful. And so now I pray that as we go forward, looking at the past and how you've been faithful, that we would recognize that you will again be faithful as we are faithful. But Lord, help us to remember the greatest debt that was ever paid. Even as we think of this as an illustration, tetelestai. Bless now the preaching of your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dave. All of us have a debt you cannot pay. This one we could pay by God's grace, but you have a debt you cannot pay. Jesus was in the house of a Pharisee by the name of Simon once. And he went out, when he walked in, the man wouldn't even wash his feet, wouldn't even give him a greeting. And as they sat to eat, a woman, a known sinner, came in. And since in those days in the ancient world they would be lie inclined at the table, she began to go to Jesus' feet, and she was weeping, and she was crying, and the tears dropped on his feet, and she began to wash his feet with the hairs of her head. And Jesus said to Simon the Pharisee, "Simon, seest thou this woman? When I came in, you didn't wash my feet, you didn't give me a greeting," and so forth and so on, "but she has not ceased since I've come in." And then he told this parable. Two people were in debt. Both could not pay. And there's the key. One owed 50 pence, one owed 500 pence. Both could not pay. He frankly forgave both of them. Which, Simon, do you say would therefore love the creditor the most? And Simon said, "I suppose the one who owed him most." And Jesus said, "Thou hast well said." Then he pointed to the woman and said, "This woman, in her heart she knows she owes a lot. Simon, you don't think you owe much." And folks, that's where the way a lot of us are. But the point I want to make with that is this: all of us could not pay. None of us could pay. So in John chapter 19 and verse 30, I'd like you to see that. One of the greatest words ever spoken. In a sense, the entire Old Testament looks forward to it, and all that follows the Old Testament, including today, looks back to it. It's the pivotal word in world history. It's the word I taught you just a moment ago. Look, could you say it again with me? Tetelestai. Now, Jesus did not say it in Greek. He spoke in Aramaic, but this is the translation. Tetelestai in Greek. The Synoptic Gospels tell us that when Jesus said these three words, he said it with a loud voice. That's in Luke 23, 46. So in a very, very loud voice, he will say this word when I get to it. So if you're in Luke chapter 19, he's been crucified. Verse 17, he's bearing his cross. He goes into a place, the place of the skull, which is in the Hebrew is called Golgotha. And then in verse 30, 26, when Jesus saw his mother, he's hanging on the cross, and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to that disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now, there are seven sayings from the cross, and three are recorded for us here. That's one of them. Verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Look at that word, accomplished. It's the same word for finished in verse 30. Jesus, in verse 28, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." But notice, folks, he knew that all things were accomplished. In other words, he was fully aware of what his death was accomplishing. And let me show you those three things very quickly. In John 19, 30, Jesus, knowing that all things were not accomplished, he was fully aware that his death had accomplished Old Testament prophecy. Let me read you something that Spurgeon once said. He gave this challenge. He said, assume that someone doesn't know about Jesus Christ, and give the wisest man in the world an Old Testament. Construct in your imagination the ideal person to fulfill everything foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Now listen, he must be a prophet like unto Moses, and yet a champion like Joshua. He must be an Aaron and a Melchizedek. He must be both David and Solomon. He must be both Noah and Jonah, both Judah and Joseph. Not only the lamb that was slain, but the scapegoat that was not slain. The turtle dove dipped in blood, and the priest who slew the bird. The altar, the tabernacle, the mercy seat, and the showbread. All kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him, and yet he is despised and rejected of men. He must be a man without blemish, and yet be one upon whom the Lord doth cause the iniquities of us all to fall. That's the Old Testament in a nutshell. Looking forward, prophecy. There's Old Testament prophecy. Christ, folks, is in the Old Testament all throughout. Consider the Old Testament sacrifices. Again, Spurgeon said, year after year, the high priest goes within the veil and sprinkles the mercy seat with blood. The next year sees him do the same, and the next, again, and again, and again. Presenting his own blood, Jesus Christ enters within the veil, sprinkles it there, and coming forth from the midst of the darkness, he looks down on the astonished earth and upward to expectant heavens and cries, "It is finished. It is finished." Jesus was fully aware, verse 28, that his death accomplishes Old Testament prophecy, that it secondly accomplishes Old Testament sacrifices, thirdly, that it accomplishes the Old Testament law. He and he only is the one who has perfectly lived the law. He has kept every commandment, every statute, every law, perfectly obedient. Remember his first recorded words as a young man, 12 years old, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And then the next to the last that's recorded here in John 19:30, "It is finished." There was no fault in him. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without. He was a sinless Son of God. He was the perfect Lamb of God. When John the Baptist saw him coming to his baptism, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So you look at the Old Testament prophecies, you look at the Old Testament sacrifices, you look at the Old Testament law, and all three of those together have to do with the payment of our sin debt. "It is finished" is a single Greek word that you can now say with me. Tetelestai. It's in the perfect passive, the perfect tense, and that means something. It is in the passive. That means something. Literally, it has been paid in full. What do you think he was thinking? What was he saying on the cross when he says, "It has been paid in full"? What is it that's been paid for? What is it that's finished? As the King James says, "It is finished." What is it that's been finished? Jesus knew the relation of his death to our redemption. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Tetelestai is translated "to pay" in Matthew 17:24. When somebody said, "Doth your master pay tribute?" Same word, different tense. It has been paid. The tense of this word is significant. So I'm going to go through some possible tenses. Do you remember verb tenses? Present, past, future. There's also this one called perfect. Let's look at those. If you were looking forward to paying off a debt in the future, as we have for 20 years now, it would have been in the future tense. "It shall be paid." That's not what Jesus said. If we were in the process of paying a debt, as we have been doing for the past 20 years, it would have been in a present tense. We are paying, but it's not here, the present tense. If we were to look back at some point in time when the debt is paid, which we can do now, we can look back to this last week and say, we've paid it. We paid it. That would be the aorist tense or the past tense. But someone could bring up a lien on our debt and accuse us of still owing something if this had been said in the past tense. That's what Satan does all the time. He makes you think you have a little bit more to pay. You didn't really pay this. And that's the difference between Bible Christianity and other religions. But it's not in the past tense. But folks, if the debt is paid, stands paid, will always be paid, it is the perfect tense. That's what the tense of that word means. It's tetelestai. And it is the perfect tense, and it means it is finished, it stands finished, it will always be finished.
Amen.
And as a believer, you can rest in that, because that's the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross when he said, it is finished. It's been paid for. 12 years ago, I preached on this passage when we were going through the book of John. Remember that, the 7 years in John? Looked it up, and I said this. I'm going to give you what I said in just a minute. I said this 12 years ago, October 2012, when I preached this passage. I said this. Imagine our church mortgage being paid in full. And then I said, I'm looking forward to being able to say tetelestai. Folks, today we can say it together. Tetelestai. But this building, this is going to be burned up. This is going to be gone. Praise God for a place to meet. But this is not the end. This is not a terminal thing. By God's grace, we can use what he has done here for us to do even greater things for him. Not sit back. Not rest upon our laurels. I read what a commentator said, that papyri receipts, that's old, what they used to write on papyrus paper in the ancient world. And papyrus receipts for taxes had been recovered with the word tetelestai written across them, meaning paid in full. I love what Spurgeon says on this, and you've got to listen to this. Quote, this one text is enough to blow the Vatican to the four winds. Lay this beneath popery, and like a train of gunpowder beneath a rocket shall blast it into the air. This is a thunderclap against all human righteousness. It is finished. Why improve on what is finished? Why add to that which is complete? The Bible is finished, and he adds to it, and he adds to it shall have his name taken out of the book of life and out of the holy city. Christ's atonement is finished. And he that adds to that must expect the selfsame doom. It is finished. Since Jesus paid it, and since it stands paid, and since it will always be paid, I have this question that I want to leave you with this morning. What is there left for you to pay? I quote J.C. Ryle here. He's quoting a man named Burkett. Woe unto us if Christ had left but one farthing of our debt unpaid. We must have lain in hell insolvent to all eternity. But folks, he paid it all. It is finished. It is a promise that we need to believe. Why then? Why then? Do people continue to offer burnt offerings of good works? Why then do people think that there is something that they must do? Why then? The whole worldwide is the majority of people in this world doing all they can to try to satisfy what Christ alone did satisfy and he alone could satisfy. Why? Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the inhabitants of this world to the blessed gospel. And that's why we have missionaries to Papua New Guinea, to Japan, to all over the world spreading the gospel. Folks, he paid it all. He did what you cannot do. He paid the price for your sin. We who have believed have a commission to accomplish. It's called the Great Commission, to proclaim to a world of people who are trying to save themselves that their works are all in vain. Simply by proclaiming, it is finished. To every sinner proclaiming, Jesus saves. Folks, you cannot improve upon what has been finished. Believe what Jesus said, tetelestai. Praise God. The greatest debt ever that no man could pay has been paid. Satan cannot demand what is paid in full. Get that. He cannot demand of you to pay anything what has been paid in full. We can, in Jesus Christ's sake, get thee behind me, Satan. My debt is paid, and you cannot demand it twice over. Praise God. He paid the debt for us. Lord, to you we give the glory.